Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Papa.
I am Sam Lifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to the Ripley Odyssey. We're going through the, randomly going through the Ripley's Believe It or Not 2021, scattering ourselves hither and thither throughout its pages as selected by the random page generator.
Spraying our attention randomly.
Yeah, spraying our thoughts and feelings about it. I've just opened it randomly, actually, at one of my favourite ever pictures, but I'm not allowed to talk about it unless it gets selected by the random number generator. But he's hoping for 146, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Right, what's it got for us? Here we go. Generate us a number. Oh, page 45. Page 45.
I've just seen page 146.
Oh, this is equally good. page 45, it says Carnival of Yetis.
Oh, yeah.
Look at those guys.
Carnival of Yetis. It's talking our language here, Sir John Ripley.
Fucking hell.
This is fucking
What's this
mad.
About? It's from, it's Eastern Macedonia.
Of course.
Fantastic.
One of the maddest places in the world.
Definitely. Each year, Yetis flood Ratevo near the town of Berovo in Eastern Macedonia for an epic battle against evil. Whoa. Yeah. Let's find out more. It says, like Halloween, where ghoulish costumes and jack-o'-lanterns scare away spirits during the witching hour, the Macedonian Carnival of Yetis involves dressing like monsters to expel the nefarious forces of winter.
Fair enough.
And they've dressed, I don't know, I mean, they look like proper animal skins they're wearing there.
Yeah, they're one like, it's really hard to describe. It's slightly reminiscent of the sort of vibe you get when you watch American Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where they're like wearing, who was it? Was it Ted Bundy who used to like enjoy wearing his victim's skins on himself?
I'm not sure.
Ah, well.
I'm not sure.
Something that the old serial killer community go in for. Certain sub-genre of it. It's a bit like that.
I think the lad on Silence of the Lambs lad did it, didn't he?
Yeah, he loved
it. He was into the skin-wearing stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and these guys have done it with animals, but it's great because they're wearing the full face, like really weird, grotesque, sort of slightly rotted, distorted animal skins upon their faces with eye and mouth holes cut out.
And horns.
Horns.
There's a the fella on the right's got a sort of a mix and match thing going on. He seems to have, is that a polar bear head? And then he's got lots of different elements from other animals.
He's got like a bison skull complete with horns. And then he looks a bit like a massive owl as well, doesn't he? It's really
mad. Friendly.
It's mad and disturbing. But it looks like a hell of a lot of fun. Like so many mad and disturbing things do.
Yeah, is that a tail that he's got sticking down on
something
the ground?
About,
a claw
on the,
on the end. Fucking hell. That's great. It's not very politically correct, obviously.
To wear animal fur, no.
Genuine animal skins, you know, that's frowned upon these days. It says temperatures in this mountainous region average between minus 4 and minus 22 Fahrenheit, which is minus 20 to 30 degrees Celsius, as I believe they say now. It used to be centigrade. Don't know who changed that or when or why.
Same people who fucking changed Norwich Union to Aviva, mate. Probably some big advertising agency charged like £100 million or something.
Yeah, and they changed GIF to SIF, didn't they?
Yeah.
For some reason. Yeah, same round of cuts. Yeah, minus 20 to minus 30 during the October festival. God, that's just in October, which means piling on plenty of furs. And it says, creepy masks complete the look, resulting in creatures that could occupy more than a few branches of Bigfoot's family tree.
Struggling. The writer struggles sometimes when they try to put jokes in. It's like, you know, leave that to us. In fact, we're available.
Yeah.
We've boosted the sales of this book fucking tenfold, I imagine, since we started doing this last year.
Completely.
And, you know, really all we want is great images and hard facts. If there's editorialization or funny, wry, sideways looks.
Sideways looks, yeah.
Then that's our stock in trade, the old sideways look, isn't it?
Expertise, isn't it? Yeah, totally. So these fellas, they're standing, well, they're socially distanced, but they're touching each other at arm's length. And they are, as it says, expelling the nefarious forces of winter. I don't know if it works.
There's fucking snow everywhere.
Yeah. Does it all melt the same day? I don't know. I doubt it. But Carnival of Yetis. Are we allowed to look at the adjoining page?
Yeah, well, I'm doing that. So let's just talk about it. Well, this coloured ice is really interesting. This sort of whole spread is to do with winter. We've just talked about these animal men. And then on the other side, there's two different sort of what you'd call ice phenomena, strange ice phenomena. At the bottom, it says ice tree. For 58 years, one family in India, it says, move over, Elsa, which is a Frozen reference. Again, not necessary. Yeah. For 58 years, one family in Indianapolis has created a 75-foot-tall frozen tree using food colouring and a garden hose. All right.
So, I'm going to use the O's.
Turning
the O's on it.
When I looked at this, what I thought and hoped was that this was a naturally occurring phenomena at some part of the world where ice grew in bright red and blue shards, right? Because it looks a bit like Superman's Fortress of Solitude. You know, Superman's rig that he goes off to.
Yes.
But no. They've just... Sometimes, I've got to say this, Ripley's has the ability to amaze. Of course, it has. I mean, some days you're just jaw-dropping. But it's a big book. There's quite a few hundred pages, right? And I feel that on some pages, they're chancing their arm a bit with the old believe it or not thing. Do you know what I mean? Because some pages, I mean, these Macedonian fellas dressed up in the animal skins, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty outrageous, right? And various other things we've talked about, like that dog we saw last week with a sort of a tail growing out of his head. That was, you know, you're like, wow, this is amazing, right? But this is an example of it's where you look at it and you go, fucking hell, this looks mad. I've never seen ice that colour before. How does that happen? Get ready for some fucking hardcore geology, right?
Yeah.
Then you read it, oh, it's just some fucking family who get some food colouring, mix it with water, and then spray the ice with a hose. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like going, I mean, you're not far from saying, look at this wall in East London. It's not the usual colour of brick. It's got paintings all over it. That's because some kids came along with what's called spray paint and sprayed shapes and drawings on it. It's not exactly that. You know, all this kind of believe it or not. Well, yeah, I do believe it. It's wholly believable. Some people have chucked some food dye onto ice. So scrap that. I'm not happy with that. But above it, there's snow spikes, which looks like a hot desert, not unlike Tatooine out of Star Wars. But in the middle of this desert, there's a load of blocks of ice growing out of the ground. Let's see why. A feature of high altitude glaciers, penitentes occur in the dry Andes and can reach up to 16 foot tall. First described by Charles Darwin, of course, in 1839. Mm. Scientists are still debating why and how these spectacular blades of ice form. What, still now? 1839? Mate, COVID only came out a year ago and the scientists have already fucking made up a cure for it.
Well, have a look. Can you offer an explanation for that? Because as you've said, it looks like a desertous area.
Mm.
Desertous, is that a word?
Mm.
But there's these spikes of snow and ice sticking up. I can't figure
it
out.
The correct term is deserty. It's deserty.
Deserty.
Yeah.
It's all deserty.
It's all deserty. I can't know. I don't know, but I'm not a qualified scientist. If I'd even done my Open University science course, then I would expect to be able to conjure some form of explanation for it.
Well, okay. Well, I'm choosing to... I do believe it, but I can barely believe it, let's say, with that one. It seems impossible, but it seems to be happening. It's like, I mean, I've just been watching Professor Brian Cox there on the telly before we recorded this, doing his Planet show. I've said this before, but every time he says something, I find myself thinking, well, fucking prove it, mate.
Mm.
You said something, you've told me about something that happens with gases and that in the surrounding areas of Venus, but we've only got your word for it, haven't we? You know, he'll say it and we're like, oh, all right then, yeah, that's a fact.
Well, I've always
it?
Thought that about him. It. My attitude to him is fucking prove it, mate. Very often.
Yeah, exactly.
If you just say, look, space is amazing. If you took the whole of space and wrapped it all up, it would need a box the size of Mount Everest to fit in. That's how big it is, right?
Prove it, you can't.
Yeah, or you go, you know how long it would take to go from here to Mars? It would take... like a million days, and only then if you were travelling in a spaceship that were like twice as fast as Concorde, right? And you're like, fuck's sake,
you just made that up, you cunt.
Yeah, you go,
yeah,
you're the bloke out of D-Ream, right? I
exactly.
mean, why should exactly. I fucking believe any of this? Explain it. Explain
it's
it.
It's not his fault. It's not his fault, but he's always going to be doubted because he was the keyboardist in D-Ream. He's got that around his neck. It's a millstone.
It is his fault. He didn't have... If he wanted to be taken seriously as a space scientist, which is what he now goes around claiming he is, right, he should have thought ahead and not joined D-Ream.
But was the D-Ream thing not just like, you know, when you're a student
just
and you get a part-time job to keep you going? Mm. Yeah. Was it not that? And it got out of hand. I mean, D-Ream didn't start out massive, did they?
It did get out of hand fucking fast.
D-Ream got
right
out of hand. Ended up with fucking New Labour's anthem, didn't it?
They fucking brought in New Labour. It was incredible. but then again, you've got to look at it this way. Without D-Ream, would there have been Euro 96? I don't know. I just don't know.
Well, it was already planned, wasn't it? I mean, the song was out in 94, I think, or 93.
Mm.
And then Euro 96 happened and Labour got it in 97.
But it was all contributed to the general atmosphere that, you know, presided over all of us in the mid-90s of...
It was our anthem everywhere we went, wasn't it?
Things can only get better.
No one had thought
Well, no,
before.
Until Euro 96 happened, because at the point at which I was sat better. There... watching Teddy Sheringham and Gazza and everyone do the dentist chair, I turned to my assembled friends and family who I was watching it with, and I said, friends, this is what D-Ream was singing about. All that time when we were still living under the yoke of the Conservative government, John Major, right, and
his Corns hotline.
His flawed back-to-basics strategy for national revival... They kept promising us that things can only go better. Well, now we have reached a point where things will never, ever get better than this. So ditch the song. And actually, Labour got elected the following year. And I was right behind the Blair Project back then, I did have my doubts. Yeah. Maybe I should have... I mean, you know that I foresaw 9/11. Maybe I should have foresaw the war and everything. Because when they were singing things can only get better, I'm thinking, well, I fucking doubt it, mate. Because it was because last summer I saw us beat I saw England beat Scotland, followed by Gazza reenacting the dentist chair drinking game.
Yeah.
that they'd been exposed. And I very much doubt things are going to go upwards. I doubt things are going to be on an upward trajectory from there. And I was dead right.
Do you not think that the 4-1 win against Holland was even higher up than the dentist chair?
I prefer the dentist chair. Well, yeah, the other thing's good for you, football, but the dentist chair sort of transcended the game of football, didn't it?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know we have, we're friends of Scotland. We like to think of ourselves as friends of Scotland, and the whole kind of England-Scotland thing, I always feel on the wrong side of, because I can, you know, I can totally appreciate the the hatred of England. Like, for instance, in rugby, which obviously I'm not a fan of, but I will always support instinctively whichever one of the home nations is playing against England, right? So I get all of that. Nevertheless, in that Euro 96 game, it was the fact that Gazza scored such an outrageous fucking all right cunt skull and then celebrated it like that. I mean, it was special. Anyway, that's
it
Brian.
It was cocaine football, wasn't it?
It was cocaine football. That's Brian Cox for you, though.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Jalapeño.
I went on Radio 4 in the morning. This is a bit of a like...
Jesus.
Me, once in a while, probably about, I would say, half a dozen times in my life, I've been invited on the Today programme to talk about a variety of subjects. But if I get asked on the Today programme, it's one of the things that I'll fucking drop everything to do it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't get paid much. I think you sort of get paid some weird arbitrary amount that you receive months later, right?
Yeah.
But
you do the kudos.
I am there for the fucking Today programme. That is like the poshest thing you can do, right? And you get, like, texts and emails from people you haven't heard from in years. Or people who wouldn't have even fucking looked twice at you. The day you're on the Today programme, even if you're on talking about this fucking stupid story at the end, which, let's be honest, I usually have been, right?
That's what you're there for.
They'll go, oh, I heard you. You'll get a text going, I heard you on the Today programme. It was wonderful to hear your voice on the Today programme. Right, and you're like, yeah, that's right, cunts. I'm on the fucking Today programme. How do you like me now?
That terrible Ike I used to know has been legitimised by Radio 4.
Yeah.
I must drop him a text. Welcome him into the fold.
Exactly. So I'll always fucking do it, right? Because I crave acceptance, right?
Of course
and,
you do.
And, but I went on it because they were talking about bringing back the Sky at Night. And I fuck knows how I got the fucking...
What was your outlook? No!
Like...
Absolutely
bring
not.
Guy, right, see if Sam Delaney's available. We need his opinion, right? So I've just got to go, hi, it's Tristram. I am an assistant producer from the Today programme on Radio 4. This is me. Yeah, I'll do it. What? I'll do whatever it is, mate, I'll do it. But I just want to explain to you, look, I don't care. I'll work it out when I get there, what I'm going to say. Don't worry about that. I'm not going to fucking dry. Trust me. Now, here's the address
for
the taxi.
Anything except Holocaust denial and nonsense. I'll do it.
I will not defame the good name of Lady Diana Spencer. That is one thing I've been asked again and again to do, and I refuse. Especially for the sort of fees you're paying, right? You'll have to go way up. Right? No, but I went on, and I can't remember really why I was in it, but there was someone else on it as well. And I just said, yeah, Sky at Night, Patrick Moore. It was something like, can it be done without Patrick Moore? was it all about Patrick Moore? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, Patrick Moore was a wonderful bloke, blah, blah, blah. Although, my wife mentioned the other night that she thought he had a reputation for being a dick, but whatever. Patrick Moore, I mean, fucking come on. What a madman, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like,
I would imagine he probably was a dick.
Yeah, maybe, but Patrick Moore, come on. I mean, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Just some, like, nutter who's banging to space just on your TV, shouting like that about space with a mad eye, right? So I went on, I went, yeah, okay, Patrick Moore, blah, blah, blah. Said whatever I had to say. I can't remember what it was, but it all went off. I didn't offend an entire industry or tell an inappropriate anecdote about killing a cat, nothing like that.
Well, that's good.
So I've left the studio because the other thing is I will always go in. I mean, not now in COVID, but if they ask me on, I'll be like, they said, well, we could, they say, we can, there's none of this, we'll do it on the blower, like when you do TalkSport. Well, we're fine to do it whilst you're driving along a really bad line with only two bars of signal, right? None of that. They're like,
yeah.
If you can't come in, we will send a radio car, right?
Oh, the radio car.
And I've been in the radio car loads of times. One time I was having a pizza. This is for another Radio 4 thing in the middle of the day. And I sort of went to them, well, I'll do it, mate, but I'm having the pizza with the kids at the moment to be honest. And they said, oh, we can send the radio car. Tell us where you are. And they fucking sent a radio car to outside the Pizza Express, mate, right?
But you absolutely must not take your pizza into the radio car. That is forbidden.
My mate in the pizza while I'm talking. Is that all right?
No!
Oh! Oh my god!
No food or drink in the radio car!
What kind of pizza is it? It's a Hawaiian.
Oh! Pineapple!
Yeah, but you said you were in a Pizza Express. Now, but I'll bring my own pineapple with me because I don't do it there, so I'll bring a tin of it.
I'll bring a can along.
I'll get ham pizza. And then I open the can and I just tip all my pineapple on top of it, see?
I open the can in the bog and I drag the juice out in the sink. And then I take it back and just tip it on the pizza.
They can't stop me.
It's all right, they don't mind. Well, not the one I'm going to anyway.
They don't mind a bit, but not, I told them there's nothing I can do. It's perfectly legal. Anyway, if we could just get back to the subject, Mr. Lady. Yeah, well, I'm just saying. That's what you call a life
total
act.
Bill here. I says the bill here's going to come to nearly 60 quid, so stop fucking whinging.
Yeah. What, you want me to pay fucking corkage on my pineapple? That's my fucking pineapple. A man's free to take his pineapple wherever he wants, you can.
I don't see nothing on the menu about corkage fees, you can.
Mind you, the problem was I couldn't get any of the pineapple chunks, so I had to get pineapple rings. And they look fucking well moody on the pizza, to be honest. And I couldn't get in natural juice, it was only in syrup. But to be honest, that made it nicer. It's like your main and your pudding all at once. So obviously I ruined that Radio 4 show. No, but on the day of I went into the studio to do the Sky at Night thing, and then I fucked off, and they said, and I thought, right, I've got off scot-free there, brilliant. I switched my phone on, all the posh cunts who hadn't spoken to me in years, like, oh, I heard you on Radio 4, or a couple of people went, my mum just texted me to say, is that your... Darling, didn't you say you had a little friend called Sandy Lady? I just heard someone called Sandy Lady on my wireless.
Perhaps it's a different one.
Maybe it's an appropriate friend after all. Right. Anyway, I thought I've got away fucking scot-free here. Brilliant. I'll get the check in the post. I've been on Radio 4. What a great start to the day. And you finish so early, it's still only 9 when you're leaving Broadcasting House. So you've got a whole day of other stuff ahead of you, right? Lovely jubbly.
Yeah.
But then, oh... My mate Dave Whitehouse, who we've talked about a lot before on the podcast, he fucking tweeted me something facetious like,
right,
if you love space so much, why don't you marry it? It was probably that, right? And I've gone back to him, blah, blah, blah. And he's gone back, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, I'm still feeling excitable and invigorated by having been on the Today programme and chatting to John Humphreys. And so the banter, let's say, between me and Dave has escalated. And I can't remember how or why, but I've ended up claiming that Patrick Moore would have liked to have bummed the moon. I don't know why. It just seems funny.
I was just going to say, did the band escalate to a non-Radio 4 level?
Yeah. Oh, immediately. And I, you know, it's like sometimes on Twitter, you're chatting with someone, you don't realise that other people are looking. You can accidentally slip into that and you think, I'm just this having a bit thing. Of a banter with my mate David.
Yeah, when it's not an actual tweet pronouncement, when it's just a conversation between two people.
And I think, you forget other fucking weirdos looking at our conversation anyway, right? Get your own conversation.
Fuck off.
So I've gone Patrick Moore wanted to bum the moon or something along those. It was definitely due to him bumming the moon. And that was that, as far as I was concerned. Next thing I know, my agent, I had an agent at the time. Now, at the time, I was a semi-regular on BBC London, right? I used to cover a lot of shows on BBC London, maybe mainly Robert Elms, right? Hello, London. Yeah. In the afternoon. Hello, London. Right? And
I'm reading a book at the minute which features Robert Elms quite heavily.
Oh, is that the Dylan Jones book?
Dylan Jones's new romantic thing. Yeah.
Robert Elms will be heavily in that. He was
he's all over it.
Very
like
major
fucking
figure.
Rash.
Yeah, very major figure in the new romantic scene.
I think that's what he says in it, yeah.
Yeah. And Robert Elms. I like Robert Elms, nothing against him. Anyway, the point was I got a fucking call from the agent saying, right, the boss at BBC London has been in touch.
Yeah.
There has been a huge number of complaints, right?
Whoa.
On Twitter.
About your tweet?
About you saying something inappropriate about the late Patrick Moore. I'm like, what the fuck?
Fuck off.
Fucking hell. Unbelievable, right? Yeah, and people have gone mental at me because what happened was, anyone who follows me on Twitter would know, oh, he's a stupid cunt, right? That's just, he's liable to come out of all sorts of bollocks, just ignore him.
These things can escalate, though. Right? These things can escalate,
well,
Sam.
Well, as we know, to our cost. But the problem was, I think, that by being on Radio 4, other people who would not usually give me the time of day, quite rightly, right, have gone, I'll look at him on Twitter. And the first thing they say is, he sounded quite, because I probably put on quite a good act, you know. I can talk posh when it suits me, you know, and use fancy words. And so they probably, you sound quite compelling. I'll look at him on the Twitters. And they've looked on it, and the first thing they see is me going, Patrick, well, probably wanted to ban the moon, innit? Right?
Oh my goodness gracious.
Right, so all these space fanatics started having a pop at me on Twitter, and I think I might have responded in the first, it says, fuck off, you fucking nerds, or something like that. And then I realised it had got pretty serious. And then they're going, well, we may complain to your BBC bosses if this is your attitude. And I've gone, what fucking BBC bosses? I ain't got no BBC bosses, I'm a lone wolf, see? Right?
A freelancer.
And then I realised, oh no, fuck, I do have BBC bosses, they're just not those bosses. And then he's gone, and I thought, what's this? I'm only a freelance. What's he want to have a word with me about? And I said, I don't want to speak to him, make an excuse. So he's written an email explaining to me what my responsibilities are as an occasional BBC broadcaster to not say things like that about Patrick Moore. Fuck me, it escalated and escalated. And you know, he was fucking laughing and laughing and loves it and still brings it out to this day. Day fucking White House. He was so proud of himself because he lured me into that trap. Probably the whole thing was planned.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon so. But, I mean, it's kind of good that you've now got this outlet where we don't have any bosses on this podcast.
Mm.
We are our own bosses and we can kind of do what we want.
Well, I was thinking about Pharmacy Gate, which I think the year anniversary is around about this week. I was thinking about the other day and I remember your initial analysis when I told you about it was quite correct. Because you said, I think you've got too used to doing this podcast where you literally just say any shit that passes through your head and no one seems to care. And you've been doing it so regularly that now you walk into other normal parts of life, amongst normal human beings,
and you feel
that you can behave in that manner because you've got too used to it. And I thought, that's exactly right. Definitely. Because I was used to be broadcasting at a more sort of, let's say, professional level where you sort of have a kind of, you develop, don't you? As you've done as well. So you do sort of, you develop an instinctive sort of filter to a degree, don't you?
There's rules and stuff, yeah. Yeah, Ofcom, etc.
And that's all gone out the window now. And so if anyone invites us on, woe betide. Funny enough, as you're saying this, TalkSport just asked me on, which is weird because the text came through just as I said, ah, fucking TalkSport, getting you on a two-bar line.
Yeah, well, we haven't been asked to do TalkSport together since that last time
since we did the best call of all time.
We try to compare Reg Varney and Paul Scholes.
Mate, what?
Their levels of political correctness.
What a brilliant way to go out, though. TalkSport was going through changes at that time, right? And I think there was a new boss came in. And so.
A new culture.
There was always likely to be changes, and that's fine. Institutions have to change, they have to move with the times, right? And if I've been the boss, if I'm honest, one of the first things I would have done would have been. Get Delaney off, right? Right? And, but...
And his northern monkey pal.
Yeah. Hey, fucking couple of clowns. I just tuned in and they've fucking built the whole show around a Friday night show. They built the whole thing around comparing Reg Varney to Paul Scholes. And I would have been, listen, mate, you scoff, but we had fucking loads of phone calls and texts about that, and we did a poll that had some like 1,000 votes in it. But what a way to
just
go.
Just to show there's different ways of doing things. There's not always a right way or a wrong way to do things.
No.
And it's their loss, basically.
Sometimes you got to follow your gut.
Yeah.
If there's any kids listening, don't let society beat that out of you or scare you into playing by their rules. Sometimes you just got to go, I don't want to do a phone in about whether England should play 3 or 4 at the back, because that's dull.
Yeah.
What I really want to do is do a massive phone in about who was better, Reg Varney or Paul Scholes. And if as a result of that, the new boss says, I don't want those guys on my station anymore, they're making a mockery of it, then so be it.
Yeah.
You can walk away with your head held high.
This is talk sport, not talk shit. Remove them from the building.
Send security. Have them put all of their belongings into a box and have them frog marched out of the building.
Confiscate their passes. They ain't got passes. They just come in there again.
They just need to know the lady on reception. She lets them through.
Yep. Right. Shall we do another quick random page before we go?
There was a time, though, around about time when we started this, but for quite a number of years, before TalkSport was owned by Murdoch and went into a big fancy building, that we... The building from which TalkSport was transmitted, we just used as like our personal home.
Personal kingdom, wasn't it? Yeah.
Just go roam in and out as you please. Use the facilities. Yeah. Have your mates over.
Yeah.
I used to have mates over there.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Pretty much. It was my HQ whenever I was in London.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just meet me at TalkSport. Should I give my name a session? No, don't mind about that. Just walk in, mate.
And now, to get in, you've got to get searched for one of those metal detector things, haven't you?
They want
to take an x-ray of your body.
They want to probe your bumhole if you want to get in now.
Yeah. Where were we at? Was the random number generated? Oh, fuck it. Let's just end it there. It's been good. Let's go out on a high.
Yeah.
That's it from this episode of Ripley's. We did a bit of Ripley's. Didn't do much, but there you go. That's how it works. Back with more next week. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.